This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. A different twist today with a combined radio and TV interview of two veterans from California's Central Coast. We heard first from Ivan Hudson, a Navy corpsman, and we've been listening to 90-year-old John Wilcox remember his Marine Corps experiences. When we left off, he'd been approaching Shuri Castle, legendary palace of the Ryukyu Kingdom on Okinawa. The castle would be nearly destroyed by the end of that battle, but Mr. Wilcox never got to see it firsthand because he was shot from behind by a sniper's bullet. Walk us through, if you can, how that happened and how it was that you survived.
I was must have been bent over a little bit because the bullet entered my back and came out my shoulder, went through my ear, and I guess it took my helmet with it. But fortunately, there was a guy there that I don't know what his job was, but he saved my life by putting a... They had packs that you could...
Had a compress?
Yeah. He put it on me, and then he had a radio, and he called for a vehicle, and we got a Jeep up there with a stretcher.
So if he wasn't there to stop the bleeding...
Yeah, if he hadn't put the pack on me, why, I'd have bled to death right there.
I know this is a long time ago, and I know it's really not easy to talk about, but I'm just picturing you. You're bending over, you get shot in the back, goes through your ear, takes your helmet off. What were you thinking? What was that like for you?
I was thinking that I jerked a trigger. He didn't squeeze it, he jerked it, and pulled the rifle out of line, so the projectile just hit on me on the side.
And are there some moments there where you don't know how bad it is, and you're trying to figure out what just happened?
No. First thing I knew, the guy was on top of me with a K-bar. Cut my jacket off.
So if he hadn't been there...
That'd have been history.
And I think your daughter brought you here today. She would have never been born. Probably a few other people wouldn't be born. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but how do you account for that? The fact that things happened just the way they did?
Must have been pretty lucky.
Well, it took a lot of courage for you to be there in the first place, and I realize it takes courage to
talk about it. Just took notice from the government. We need you.
Well, that's all the more impressive that you have that humble attitude about it. What did that mean for you from there? Were you off the lines for a little while?
It wasn't long. When you recuperate, they put you back into the swing of things. They transported me from where I was at Shuri Castle down to the hospital that was near an airport there. Mm-hmm. And I woke up the next morning and I'd had a shot of morphine when I got hit. First thing they do, they give you a shot of morphine to deaden the pain.
But you felt some pain before that?
No, I didn't feel. I thought Joe DiMaggio had laid a bat across my shoulder. That's what it felt like. Mm. A Louisville slugger, in fact.
How did you deal with that?
No problem. Yeah, better.
No problem.
Well, I just broken my collarbone playing football in high school before I went to the Marines. That was more painful than anything.
Have you had any lingering effects of that injury in all the years since?
No, even the broken collarbone quit aching. It took about 50 years.
Do you ever wear your Purple Heart?
I don't even know where it is.
Well, I get the sense you probably haven't talked a whole lot about World War II over the years.
No.
Why not?
Well, there were 13 million men in the service, and I just never was really buddies with any of them. My squad had a 17-year-old terror in it, a red-headed kid from Fresno.
Huh.
I don't know, he picked me for a squad leader, I don't know why. And another squad leader I remember was a New York cop named Miller. And we had a boxing match one time. He hit me 6 times, I hit him 3 times, and he put threw the gloves down.
That was enough.
Yeah. I hit him with haymakers, and he hit me with the punch and jab.
You were one of those pound-for-pound guys, huh?
Well, little guys.
Yeah. Are you proud of what you did in the war?
Well, I like being alive.
Do you think people today understand what you did and what all those other millions of Americans did?
I don't think anybody could put themselves in our positions. I mean, every decision you make is either life or death to you or some enemy.
Were there some other moments for you that was really crystal clear? I mean, the couple of the ones you've shared with us, it sounds pretty clear that that could have ended it for you. Were there others where you look back on now and say, wow, I was really fortunate, or someone was really looking out for me?
Well, you get pretty close to the maker when you're out there.
And I've heard that from a lot of guys. And, you know, the old, there's no atheists in foxholes comes to mind. Or guys, some guys have said, you know, I wasn't just saying that. It was really real for me. And they've shared, you know, in moments they actually would utter a prayer. When you say you got close to the maker out there, how did that unfold for you? What was that really like for you?
Oh, he had to be on my side for me to survive what I did. It's nice to have a buddy.
What are you most thankful for when you look back on all of it?
The war ended. We won.
Have you been to the World War II Memorial in Washington?
No. My war was in the Pacific. I have no reason to go to Washington. Besides that, you're not too welcome there anyhow.
Well, at that place you are, and there are a lot of folks trying to get veterans to that memorial, but the reason I ask is I think the spot at that World War II Memorial that seems to mean the most to veterans who see it is a wall of gold stars. And it's a star for every 100 who was killed, so it signifies 405,000 Americans who died in World War II. Do you ever think about that? Think about that price that was paid?
Lucky to be here.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you think your kids and grandkids and the rest of us need to know about what happened then and why you guys did what you did?
No, we just did what we had to do.
So that's John Wilcox, 90 years old, of Morro Bay, California. That simulcast, if you will, with the high-profile television show. If you're in the San Luis Obispo area on the central coast of California, you can catch it. Charter Cable Channel 2 all through the month of July. It'll air on Saturdays at 11 a.m., Sundays at 1 p.m., or Tuesdays at 9 p.m. So check that out if you're in the area, and it'll give you a chance to see what these veterans look like and see some of the emotion in their eyes that I'm sure you recognized in their voices as well. If you don't live on the Central Coast, you can still see what John and Ivan look like. I've got a few photos posted on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page and, of course, at hometownheroesradio.com. And we're not done quite yet. Once the cameras stopped rolling, I had a few more questions for Mr. Wilcox, and our Hometown Heroes affiliate, KVEC, was gracious enough to let us stick around and explore his Marine Corps experience a little further. So we're going back to when you were hit. You get evacuated to an ambulance, but you're the first one on the ambulance?
On the Jeep. They sent a Jeep up there. I guess the guy that was with me, I didn't know whether it was an officer or what he was. I thought he might have been a preacher or something, but he didn't have a weapon. And we were both in that area. I just happened to get shot, and he didn't. But he's the one that cut my jacket off with his K-bar knife and called for an ambulance. And we got two ambulances. We got the Jeep, and then we had a track vehicle also come up there that would hold about a dozen more stretchers. And I was afraid I was going to have to sit there till they loaded all those stretchers on that track vehicle. It's called an alligator. And it was a little uncomfortable being first aboard because you had to wait for the other dozen to get aboard.
How long do you think you were waiting?
I don't know. It seemed like forever.
Because the enemy was still firing.
Shells could come in any time. Mortar shells, artillery shells there.
So it was pretty big relief when they finally got you out of there then?
Well, I think I slept most of the way because I'd had a shot of morphine. And next morning I woke up and I was in a hospital by an airport there. And the guy that sewed my ear up was a German national. And I was his 4,000th patient, he told me himself. All he did was sew my ear. It had a hole in it where the bullet went through, and he just sewed the outside down on the inside.
It didn't do any damage to your hearing on that side?
No, I say thank God the guy jerked the trigger, or I wouldn't have been here. You got to squeeze them off. I learned that as becoming a sharpshooter.
Your daughter says that when you see another Marine, and you can tell he's a Marine, you have a special greeting for him.
Semper Fi.
What does that mean to you? Why is that important for you to share that bond?
The Marines are the only ones that use that term.
It's for Semper Fidelis, always faithful. What does that mean to you? Is that a part of who you are?
Well, that's what Marines do.
You mentioned the time when you got hit and the guy who saved your life, as you put it. Do you ever wonder what his name was or think about trying to find him?
Even figure out what he was doing there. He didn't have a gun. He had Army clothes on or Marine clothes. I don't know what. I didn't look at him too close. But he was a nice guy. And after I got hit with that round way. He was right on top of me cutting my jacket off so they could get the bandage on. It was wild and woolly times.
Have you ever looked at photographs of some of those scenes from the war, or even the cemeteries left behind on some of those Pacific islands, or even the memorials we have today, and ever said, you know, that could have been me?
No, it wasn't.
You know, there's a famous quote about the Marines in the Pacific, and in fact, it's inscribed on the side of the Marine Corps Memorial, where they have the giant, larger-than-life statue of the flag raising atop Mount Suribachi, and it's from Admiral Nimitz, and it says, "Uncommon valor was a common virtue." Did that sound about right to you?
That's about the way the Marines are doing.
Well, I know one thing you're familiar with because you were sharing it. There were 8 Medals of Honor awarded to veterans of the Battle of Peleliu, and one of them was one that sounded like it left a particular impression on you. You want to tell me about that?
Well, the guy blew up with satchel charges, took 16 satchel charges to do what he did. He threw a satchel charge in the emplacement and blew out of the emplacement or killed him. Satchel charge is a pretty potent thing. It's a knapsack which has composition C in it, I guess, and a timer. You got so long to get rid of it, and then it's going to go off.
In fact, it sounded like it was something you didn't want to mess with yourself.
Well, I wasn't familiar with it, and bad enough being in combat, but you don't want to be fooling around with something you don't understand.
In that battle, one of the things that strikes me from the accounts I've read and the veterans I've talked to who were there is not knowing where the enemy was a lot of time. It seems like you're always on edge. How did you deal with that uncertainty? And it seems like you're constantly wondering where they are and what's going to happen next.
No, we didn't worry about it too much. We did what we had to do. And like I was telling you about getting behind that tank with the 4 guys. And I was a squad leader. I think there were 3 or 4 groups of 12 in the platoon.
Do you feel responsible for those guys that you were leading?
Well, I didn't want to see any of them get hurt. And they could have very easily gotten hurt because when you're firing a weapon, you always got to be conscious of where the Marines are so that you don't accidentally shoot one of them because they frown on being shot at.
Yeah, that's quite the understatement, isn't it? A Marine with a Purple Heart and a sense of humor. Mr. Wilcox, thank you for serving our country. Thank you for sharing your story. You can find photos and more information on our guest today at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. Thanks to our sponsor, EECU. They'll both receive CD copies of the program. You can also find more information online at hometownheroesradio.com about the Honor Flight Network. San Luis Obispo is the departure airport for one of the newest Honor Flight hubs, taking World War II veterans to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. They have a flight scheduled for September 30th, another one October 21st. You can check them out online at honorflightccc.org. We're out of time. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping that on Independence Day and all year long, these stories from our veterans will help you remember that freedom is not free.